We welcome you once again to Words of Truth. We began this study by noting that our Lord considered truth to be the most important possession in life and was the reason for his being born. While on trial for his life, Jesus told Pilate, the Roman governor, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end have I been born, and to this end am I come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." John 18 and verse 37. Question: are we concerned about truth? We have seen that the truth makes us free, frees us from the bondage of sin. Furthermore, we have seen that the Bible does not leave men in the dark. There is no reason for men today to ask, "What is truth?" any more than there was for Pilate. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14 and verse 6. He also said, "The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life." John 6 and verse 63. The Lord promised that his apostles would be guided into, notice, all truth. John 16:13. Even as Peter stated, that the truth that he taught would be permanently preserved in Scripture following his own death. 2 Peter 1 and 2 Peter 3. Thus, we know that the written word, Scripture, is God's truth preserved for us today. Old Testament Scriptures give comfort, Romans 15, verse 4, and are able to make one wise unto salvation, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Though many are unable to come to the knowledge of the truth, or say they can't, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8 and verse 32. Yes, the words of Jesus are spirit, and they are life, and they're able to save our souls today. What is that truth by which we are sanctified and saved today? It is the gospel of Jesus Christ in written form. While Jesus prayed for his disciples that they might be united, he said, "For the words which thou gavest me I have given unto them, and they received them, and knew of a truth that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me." John 17 and verse 8. Peter was not the only one who said that he wrote so that men would be able to read his words and remember the truth he spoke after his death. Another apostle, the apostle John, said that the things he wrote in his gospel alone were sufficient to bring one to faith and ultimately to salvation. At the end of his gospel, he penned these words, "Think carefully about what John has conveyed to us." And he wrote John 20, 30, and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. In his commentary, the Gospel of John, by Guyon Woods, here in simple and unmistakable fashion, we have John's own explanation of why he wrote. Faith comes by hearing God's word, Romans 10:17. Thus, the first step to salvation is faith in the deity of Jesus. This, John's readers would experience only by being provided with reliable and convincing testimony regarding the words and the works of Jesus. Mr. Woods continues, "So here, near the close of the book, John indicates the purpose for which he wrote. Number one, to prove that Jesus is indeed the Christ, and secondly, to prompt those thus believing to seek the life eternal through him who alone can provide it," unquote. How important is the written word, the apostles' testimony? James wrote, "Wherefore, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls," James 1 and verse 21. Do we believe that the Scriptures are sufficient to bring us to proper faith in Christ? Friends, are you listening to the words of men or to the Word of God? As sincere as people may be in giving subjective religious, quote, testimony, unquote, it is not the Word of God. Are we able to tell the difference? The Bible is not merely a witness to Christ. It is the only witness of Christ we have today. While writing to the Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul expressed his thanksgiving that they were able to distinguish between the words of men and the Word of God. Listen as I read his words, recorded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, notice, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe, unquote. Are we able to distinguish between the word of men and the word of God? John also wrote, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world, 1 John 4 and verse 1. Our eternal salvation is dependent on what we accept as truth. In Luke chapter 8, we have the parable of the sower. I have always preferred to title this parable, the parable of the soils, because various soils upon which the seed fell represents different kinds of hearts. Jesus plainly stated, now the parable is this, the seed, notice, is the word of God, Luke 8 and verse 11. Thus, the word of God, as it is received by different kinds of hearts, brings about different results. Jesus said that the word will produce the fruit of salvation in only one kind of heart, the honest and good heart. In all others, it will not produce. Listen to what Jesus said. But on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Luke 8 and verse 15. Jesus said that the word will produce the fruit of salvation in only one kind of heart. What Jesus has to say next, I believe, is very often overlooked, and at least it is not associated with the parable of the soils as it should be. For the Lord went on to say, No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall it be taken away, even that which he has. Luke 8, 16 through 18. The lamp is not to be hidden, is the word of God, just as the psalmist declared, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. God does not hide the truth of his word from anyone, and neither should we. Secondly, Jesus says, Take heed therefore how ye hear. Linsky comments, We must always see to it how we proceed with our hearing. Both verbs are present to indicate repeated actions. If we hear in a wrong way and reject the word of God because of wicked motives, it will not help us to blame the word as though it is of such a nature as to prevent us from accepting it, unquote. He then states, and I quote, Let us hear the word in the right way, and thus accept it in an excellent and good heart, and we shall then rejoice when our hearts are exposed and their inwardness is publicly revealed. Unquote. Thirdly, Jesus says, What you don't use, you lose. Listen to him. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinketh he hath. Luke 8 and verse 18. We live in a blessed country. God's word is available to us everywhere. The Bible is found in nearly every home. However, if we fail to act upon the truth that has been given us, if we continually resist the word of God, God will take the light of his word from us. Imagine our great country being void of God's word, just like other nations around us. At this point, I would like to share with you a comment on Luke 8, 16 through 18, written by Paul T. Butler in his commentary, The Gospel of Luke. Though it is a rather lengthy quotation regarding the truth of God's word, his thoughts are remarkably appropriate. And I quote, "The disciple may have wondered about Jesus' statement, but for others they, the revelations of the kingdom, are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Jesus answered to their perplexity, lamps are made for lighting, and light may be seen unless one is blind. Jesus is not going to refuse to reveal the kingdom to anyone. He will preach the kingdom to everyone he possibly can. He is not going to conceal the light of the gospel. He's going to let it shine. The light of truth, so far as it depends on him and his disciples, will be made available to all who are willing to see it. But truth is perceived only to the degree of honesty and desire which the man has toward it. Truth will not be forced upon anyone. Jesus is using parabolic form to present truth simply because for those who refuse to let God tell them anything, the door to the kingdom will be closed. How sad indeed. Take heed how you hear or obey." The truth about the kingdom has been revealed in Jesus and the apostolic writings. Nothing is hid that shall not be made manifest, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. God has no more revelation about the kingdom than what the New Testament reveals. The light is there. It is up to man to see it. Those who put the most faith in Jesus' words will understand them and profit from them the most. Those who do not believe Jesus, even what little truth, they will soon become meaningless and lost. What a man does not use, he will lose. My dear friends, in the remaining part of our study today, we would like for you to become a Christian. And the way to do that is very simple. Follow with me very carefully. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God's Word tells us exactly what to do. And then, since that faith is active, we believe with our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, "Except or unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." John 8 and verse 24. Our Lord Himself said, "We need to repent or perish." Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. "Except you repent, or unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Repentance is a change of mind, heart, and a decision to go in the right direction. Then the next step is to acknowledge or confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before others. We believe it in the heart, Romans 10, 9, and we confess it with the mouth, verse 10, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And finally, we are baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, arising to walk in newness of life, Acts 2, 38, 2 Corinthians 5, and verse 17. Let us help you or assist you in your becoming a Christian today, will you? Why not worship with us today at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:25 for our period of study again together in our worship, and then again this evening at 6 o'clock for another worship period. We also meet on Wednesday evening for midweek Bible study, and we hope that you'll take advantage of all of these Bible study periods. Until next week, as once again we present Words of Truth, we bid you a good day.